are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
But actually, if they'd have said to me as a head teacher or said to us as head teachers, look, we understand the pressure. We know we're asking a lot of you. But what we need from you is to keep your schools open for these group of people for as long as you possibly can. Guess what every head teacher in the country is going to say? Yes.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources, and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance, and research-based publications.
This week, listen to Ross McGill, founder of Teacher Toolkit, interview Vic Goddard, principal of Passmore's Cooperative Learning Community. This community consists of three primary schools and one secondary. In today's podcast, some of the things we'll be discussing are how the coronavirus is affecting teachers, the pressures principals and head teachers are facing in this current climate, and the importance of creating safe spaces for vulnerable students.
Hello everyone, this is Ross at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I'm joined by head teacher Vic Goddard. Hello Vic.
Hello Ross.
Thanks for joining us. Now it's a very unusual time for the world, if not the UK also. We're currently in a moment of the coronavirus with schools without much clarity from the government. What's your initial take on things?
Yeah, clarity would be really, really helpful. We're frontline right now. Education people are frontline alongside the nurses and all the other people. We are absolutely in the frontline of this virus. And it just feels, we feel untrusted. You know, announcements made at 5 o'clock at night, which then impact on school the next day, but don't give you a chance to do anything right. We just need early decisions and clear decisions.
Sure. So to give people context, you're in charge of a multi-academy trust in Essex. Can you just give people a kind of context of what you oversee?
Yeah, cool. So we've got, we're Passmore's Cooperative Learning Community. It's four schools, one secondary, three primary, all within walking distance of each other. But, you know, in a town that's, you know, a white working class town generally. So it has the challenges that education people know that come alongside those. And, you know, that we run from nursery all the way through to the end of year 11.
So what, in terms of pupil numbers, what's the total pupil head count?
We are just around 2,000.
Okay, number of adults?
Of 305 employees.
Right, so huge pressure. So, you know, I don't know if we can say regardless of government announcements, but what's the day-to-day pressure on you and your senior team?
I mean, if I'm honest, Ross, the pressures are really different. So one is about just making the right call for your staff and making sure that actually the advice hearing is the right thing for their health and well-being. You know, last night's announcement was massively difficult in the fact there was an announcement about pregnant staff. A clarification from the DfE saying that's a head teacher's decision whether they're in the building or not. I'm sorry, that's not good enough. So, of course, none of my pregnant staff in the building. I've got three pregnant teachers, none of them in the building. That shouldn't be left to an individual because, if I'm honest, it leaves head teachers vulnerable to making the wrong decision. And, you know, and we're talking about people's lives. You know, that's awful. So decisions made at 5 o'clock are not helpful. Cool. So the reality is I'm really lucky that my staff are great at contacting me all the hours of the day and night to tell me what they've decided. But still, or this morning, not knowing if I've got enough adults to sit in front of enough kids in order to make it safe.
Yeah. So we're for listeners, we're talking on the evening of Tuesday, the 17th of March. Is it possible for you to just give a kind of state of the nation for your school? Kind of how many staff are you doubling up classes? Yeah.
So we're at 90% of children, yes. So we're a school that has about 96% attendance on a daily basis.
So you're at 90%?
We're at 90% yesterday, 85% today. 11 teachers, 22 staff up in total, but 11 of them teachers.
Okay, 11 teachers off. And, yeah. And give people a flavour of what your kind of 6, 7am logistical troubleshooting morning looks like as a group of school leaders when you're meeting kids and staff on that morning. What kind of things are happening?
So obviously we've got our own version of COBRA meetings. We're trying to work out what they are and can't work out what they're calling poodle meetings. So every morning starts with a briefing and in reality of this is how many staff we've got, look around, and now briefings used to be sort of aimed at teachers, but now it's everybody, all hands on.
So you're all meeting in the staff room or in the assembly hall?
Normally we'd meet in the staff room, but we're socially distancing ourselves, Ross. So we're meeting forwards out. We're doing this whole, the old arms around your body thing to make sure you're not too close. So we get there and say, look, this is the reality. This is how many teachers we've got today. This is how many staff we've got today. For instance.
Well, one tip I could give you, I suppose, we're using Zoom, and I've sent a hyperlink. So if you send that hyperlink out to all staff, they just tune in and can see you remotely.
Yeah, we've looked at moving meetings remotely. We've actually just cancelled. There's not many meetings actually need to happen, so we've just cancelled them, really. The briefing's the only time, because actually I do want to say thank you to the staff, and I do want to talk to them about, the fact that they're amazing. But basically, we expect kids to go to their classes, we expect teachers to go to corridors, and if there's a teacher with four kids, another teacher with four kids, that's one class of eight, then the other teacher comes back to the central space to collect any children that haven't got a teacher in front of them. Is it should we want them to have? No. But is it a safe space and, they're doing something that's worthwhile? Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, the school's functioning. If I just kind of bring in, I guess you've got all the fingers in the pie, you've got the kind of Twitter debate where people are hashtagging close the schools. You've got the government policy, the schools and the nurses and everyone else facing the day-to-day pressure against social isolation and not meeting in groups. What are your views on what should be done?
Well, I trust science, firstly, okay? And so we need to trust the science. I think the biggest problem that we've got with trusting the science right now is when, if I'm honest, our Prime Minister stands next to those scientists, because his track record of being honest to us hasn't been great. And I think there's some real damage being done by Conservative MPs over the last 5 or 6 years, where they've deliberately lied about funding, deliberately misled people about funding. But then we're supposed to trust them and believe them now. And that's a reach for some of us. For some of us, I'm thinking, is this a decision that's made about people or about pounds? And I shouldn't have that question in the back of my head, but it is there. There is no doubt it's there. But I do trust the science. And, if the science is saying one thing, then I will do that. And also, I'm not precious. I know there are some heads who go, when the moment somebody mentions the word childcare to them, they go, we're not childcare. Well, actually, sometimes we are. I haven't got a problem with that. Sometimes we are.
Especially in this time of need.
And at a time of need, we definitely are, So my job is to keep my school open for all children for as long as I can until I'm told not to, And so it means me in the hall with 200 kids learning how to juggle. That's what we'll do until we otherwise, That's the bottom line.
In the interim, yeah, you wouldn't want to be doing that till July, would you, or September?
Obviously, my juggling skills are great, Ross, but they're not quite.
Now, I want to talk about two serious issues, vulnerable kids and exams. But let's talk about your vulnerable kids now. What are the immediate pressures on some of the kids that you've got and the necessity to stay open for those kids on free school meals or with disabilities?
Fundamentally, there are, for some of our kids, we are the safest place they have in their lives, So we are the most consistent and healthiest for them. So we have a responsibility to stay open for those young people. And I think we have a responsibility to stay open and be a space for those young people beyond any closure, if I'm honest. And so that's a challenge. But I think...
So do you have a contingency plan if you're told to close, but you've got some vulnerable kids?
Yeah, so we've contacted all of the parents across the whole trust to say, if any of you are working in any of the key areas now... Defining that's been quite difficult. So we've gone with health and care to start with. Then please let us know if you need us to look after your children beyond the closure. So we've sent that out yesterday. We've had...
Do you love a skeleton timetable, all those types of things and staff?
No, we're going to... If we are closing, we've gone out to staff. I've asked all the staff and said to them, who's not in a position where they've got vulnerabilities around them, i.e. they haven't got sick family or underlying illnesses themselves. How many of them are willing to offer me a session to supervise these children, because we need to offer something? I'll be honest, right? I've had so many staff sign up to do sessions that, they probably only need to do 1 2-hour session a week to supervise kids, and we'll cover the whole week every week till we go. So that means they're in a safe space. Those that don't need to come to us. And, you know, we've already, it's been quite live on Twitter, hasn't it? We've already got our vouchers in envelopes. So £2.50 per kid per day. So we 2 weeks worth initially, because that seems to be the isolation periods. And they're in envelopes with every child's address on them, all ready to go. So the moment Boris or whoever announces it's time to close schools, they'll go in the post. So they'll all receive at least a £25 voucher to at least have food. And there's a criticism of that, though, Ross. The criticism could be, you know, well, they could spend it on anything. You're absolutely right. They could. And there are lots of things that we could do, but I'm doing the right thing and enabling them to help themselves. And I think that's been key.
Yeah. I was thinking my son's primary head teacher's pregnant, but she'd just started her maternity leave before last week. But just picking him up today, I had a chat with the interim head teacher and said, my wife and I are in enhanced DBS. We're happy to come in and give you head kind of manpower, I suppose, to a degree. Yeah. What are your views on exams?
See, the thing is, right, Ross, sitting the exams isn't the problem. Managing the exam process is not the problem, because if the issue is we're closed still at that point, then actually I've got loads of empty classrooms. We can spread the kids out so they're not too close together, or we can invigilate exams. So that can be done. Logistically, it can be done.
Yeah.
But we know that the issue is the gap between now and the exams. And the issue is, you know, we have a disadvantaged gap in this country. We have a disadvantaged gap in this country, not because of the work of teachers, but because of the circumstances of those children. Different support at home, less technology.
Online tuition, et cetera.
Yeah. If they're in my school, because, you know, we haven't done study leave for bloody 20 years. They're in their lessons up until the last very second. Yes. And we know they're learning the best possible. So if they are expected between, you know, let's say Easter and their exams to be on their own, my young people will do worse than they would have done in another year.
So you've got
do you know what I mean? My son would.
So there's an accountability issue also here in terms of reporting and league tables.
Do you know what? I don't care, Ross. I'm being honest. That's just not relevant to me. If they want to come in and kick me about this year's exam results after this year, then they're welcome to it, and they're welcome to my resignation. I'll be honest. All right. Yeah. The Ofsted inspection regime ever uses this year's results to hold anybody to account, they are absolutely.
I think they're in a difficult place now, where they're going to find it very difficult. I mean, even the Ofsted announcement. I joke on Twitter that it's the DfE that's decided, not quite Amanda Spielman, but there you go. They are going to have to tread very careful territory soon.
Yeah, I bit on that one yesterday, because just on Friday they were saying that they couldn't close Ofsted down, and then yesterday they wanted to take credit for it. I'm like, you can't have it both ways, people. I do regret biting, I have to say. I'm really good at not biting, but I really wish I hadn't.
I want to ask you one more question. To government ministers that I'm going to tag into this when I put this out and force them to listen or reply, what would be your message to policymakers at this time?
Involve us. The key thing is, right, we are now really key workers for this government strategy to be successful. So involve us. I know the union reps have been in there. I know the heads of the unions have been in there. But actually, if they'd have said to me as a head teacher, or said to us as head teachers, look, we understand the pressure. We know we're asking a lot of you. But what we need from you is to keep your schools open for these group of people for as long as you possibly can. Guess what every head teacher in the country is going to say? Yes. But while we're sitting on our sofas watching the announcements at 5 o'clock and then having to react in the best interest of the country, we should be more the priority for that information. So talk to us directly. Tell us what the plans are for the future. When I hear free the helpline and they say, the reason why we're not talking about plans for closure is we don't want to talk about closure. Well, that's naive. Tell us what you think the likelihood is of a closure, and we'll plan for it, because we're all trying to do.
Rather than guesswork after it's been announced on the...
We should be in a better informed position than the parents of the kids going to our school. And we hear it at the same time as they do.
Yeah, I once worked in a school where we had Legionnaires in the water and we had to close the school down. And I found out from the kids first before the actual governors.
Yeah, that's not a good place to be.
So I left that school.
We have a solution. Ross, do you know what I mean? So include us. That's the key. We are part of it.
The government people listening out there, can you include your head teachers, local authority in the decision making before it's announced to the world? Vic, thanks for your time. On behalf of Joe Public, parents, the fellow teaching community, myself and everyone else, thanks for your time and for the amazing work that you're doing. I can only imagine it's been a very challenging time, and I don't think we're out of the woods yet.
No, it's tiring, Ross, but we'll keep going. Cheers, mate.
All right, thanks for your time, Vic. All the best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.